Listen, before we start, we were wondering, do you have a preference how you'd like to be revealed? We haven't told our listeners who's judging our big annual competition yet. So we just
what,
feel like
pop out of a cake or something like that.
I was going to say I've not bought any props or anything.
Or
parachuting,
zip line.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about the extreme sports.
Yeah, you can do some extreme sports. It'd be fun.
Yeah, what do you fancy? It could be anything.
Do they know who I am, though? That's the thing. They might not even know who I am. They might be sorely disappointed. Who's that?
They'll know who you are by the end of it. That's for damn sure.
Fired out a cannon.
Oh, can you do that?
Okay, being fired out of a cannon.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that sound all right?
Splat at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Brilliant.
And the good thing, if it's like a loud cannon, it will drown out all the people going, who? You won't be able to hear them.
Exactly. And my ego will remain intact, but
absolutely.
My body will have been smashed to smithereens.
Great idea. We'll do that then.
Brilliant.
It is time for our competition. So if you're wishing to be fishing in our pond of glory, we'd like to hear your story. Unless it's very boring, then don't send any more in. But I'm sure it will be great. So don't be late. I've run out of words, but the song, it is still going on. Now it has stopped.
So, Tom. Hello, are you there?
Yep.
There's not much happening in this episode, is there?
It's pretty quiet. I mean, unless you consider the massive, biggest ever prize, Flash Fiction competition, sponsored by Scrivener, £500 prize. That's happening. That's quite big. But apart from
You're right. That is quite big.
Yeah.
I was going to say I wouldn't bother listening to this one, but it probably is worth listening. Actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and the fact we've got a really good judge lined up for it, who's somewhat of an expert and superstar in the field of Flash Fiction as well. I mean, that's worth mentioning, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably going to help a bit, actually, isn't it, in the writing of the Flash Fiction?
Yeah, it's like a bit of a cheat.
Maybe you should listen.
It's like on the old computer games, isn't it, where you have to go up, down, down, left, down, down, whatever, to get a cheat code. It's like a cheat code.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I was so confused about what you were talking about there, but I've just remembered, yeah, back in the old days.
Yeah.
You got, like, invincible,
left,
didn't
right,
you?
Right, left, sometimes. Left, right. Oh, I've gone double size!
So people can win £500.
£500.
That's a lot of pounds, isn't it?
It is.
That's definitely worth doing. And who's sponsoring the Flash Fiction competition, Tom?
It is sponsored by the lovely people at Scrivener. And if you're not familiar with Scrivener, it's a fantastic piece of writing software. Until you've used it, you probably think, well, I can manage with Word or writing on the back of a door in my own blood, or, you know, on the walls in crayon, whatever you do.
Yeah.
But seriously, once it's you can go on to Literature and Latte and get a free trial. And if you're writing a novel, anything that needs different bits putting together or keeping things in a different order and stuff, it's got all the functionality, whatever you want to do with it in terms of writing,
it pretty much does.
Do you mean it's just so deep with functionality? I think that's where it really wins.
I'd go as far as to say that if you're serious about writing books, it's indispensable, really.
It's really, really good.
Because it genuinely makes it easier to write. And why wouldn't you do
that? I was
that?
Quite cynical about it. When, you know, probably a year and a half ago
Weren't we, originally?
Yeah. I always think with these things, yeah. But it just streamlines the whole thing, I think, really.
It does. It sometimes gets a little bit of stick for being overcomplicated. But I would actually disagree, because I think it's just because it's got lots of features.
You don't have to use them all.
That's it. You don't have to
use
them.
You use what you want.
You can use
it. It's like going to a buffet, isn't it?
That's it. So you don't have to eat everything.
If you don't want the pickled onions and cheese on sticks, don't have them.
Just
stick
leave
to
it
the
out.
Pork pies and the vol-au-vents. Yeah. That's fine.
You can, in fact, you can use it in a really, like, simple, clean way. And then just as you become more familiar with it, as you continue using it, you can start using its cleverer features. Like it's got, it does have a working without distractions feature.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly useful for people like us.
Yeah.
there's a way of like visualizing your whole book on the cork board.
Yeah.
Or you can export to ebooks even, so you can publish your book electronically straight away, magically like that. So you can kind of do as little or as much as you want with it.
And if you've got anything that's like sort of research heavy or using lots of websites to reference different places that you're writing about or something, so you want to keep that, you can put them all in the right place so they're just
exactly always there.
Not in your work, but completely accessible to
at
it.
At your fingertips.
Yeah, no, it's really good, really
so
good.
So that is a genuine recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also we've got a code, haven't we, that people can use and you will get a discount for Scrivener. So that is also well worth doing. Right.
The code is failing. I don't know if that's important that you tell people.
Oh, yeah, that is quite important.
Whatever.
Failing.
Just guess the word.
Failing in.
Guess the code and you could get some money off. So huge thank you to Scrivener. Really kind of them.
Right. Continue. I hate to do this to you, Tom, because I know that you don't like it when I bring it up, but we haven't done the question for well over a month.
Yeah.
And. It has. And we said we made this promise. In fact, I believe we might have even rubbed noses on
it. Oh, yeah.
Which any half decent lawyer knows is legally binding.
I think we did. I think we'd like properly.
So, Thomas Turner, what have you been writing?
Well, the thing is, I don't want to make excuses because I know we've talked. No.
No, okay.
I know we talked about it before.
Yeah, we've talked about making excuses, yeah.
But, and like I said, I don't want to make excuses. Because I don't need to. I'm on 12,000 words.
What?
So it's been going quite well.
That's very nice, Tom. Look at that little twist there at the end. So that you're not far off halfway.
Probably, yeah. I think at least a third of the way. Ticking along quite nicely. Enjoying it.
Oh, well done, Tom. Genuinely
well done.
A few
little personal barriers overcome of those sticking points where you just want to go, it's not worked. But just kind of keeping in that first draft mentality of, well, just write through it. Doesn't matter if this bit's rubbish, it's just a bridge to get to the bit that's not rubbish that you're going to keep later
on. Hold on. And we're talking about the idea that we don't know about.
No,
yet.
This is the one the kid's story that we started a couple of episodes ago, three episodes ago.
Oh, it's that one. So you've switched over to that one for a bit.
Yeah, just because, like I said, my daughter said, oh, well, you need to write that one. And
so you got an impetus to actually get it done. Oh, that's great. Maybe that's all we need to do.
Yeah. There's not much else to say than that. Whatever, just writing stuff in it. So
that's great. I'm glad it's coming so easy to you, Tom.
Yeah,
I feel really good
easy
for
peasy.
You.
How about you, John? What have you been writing? Because we did promise.
Yeah. See, now I wish I hadn't brought it up. I have been doing a little bit. You know, I said I'd finished my Odd Little Fairy Tale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember me saying that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it turns out I hadn't.
Oh.
Because I read it again. And when I was on holiday, I completely rewrote it. But I have actually finished it to my satisfaction.
Brilliant.
So it's now at the pop it in a drawer stage. Yeah. So I'll have another look at it in a month or so. But I'm quite pleased with it, which is about as high a praise as I usually give myself.
So what are you going to do with it?
Well, it's a love story. It's another love story.
So it's going to fit in the compendium.
Yeah, to add to the collection. I'm just going to chip away in the background when I get kind of bored of doing the crime novel. I'm just going to write another love story.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to keep adding to them. But yeah, it feels quite nice to have sort of wrapped up another one of them. But the other thing that I have done is I've reread the 70,000 words I've written for my crime novel.
Right.
And I have begun to continue writing that. I haven't done a lot yet, to be honest, but I'm sort of back in the zone because I'd left it for
you're
such a long
time. Back up to speed,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the trouble. If you leave it too long, you can't remember the little bits and threads,
that's
can
exactly
you?
And especially in a crime novel because there's so many threads.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other sticky bit is that I'm onto the section that I haven't plotted out, so I'm a bit in the wilderness. Do you know what I mean?
Let's call that the exciting bit,
Let's
John.
Let's do that. Away. It's like,
isn't it?
Being out. Yeah, it's like being out in the wild. It's like bivouacking.
The discovery.
It's hard.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, that exciting, John.
Yeah. So
it's the discovery section, isn't it?
It is. But it's like I was saying before, it's quite hard to keep all the threads in your head at the same time.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking maybe I will just outline the end, but do it now, if you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
could
and then
do.
Carry on.
And that can be as loose or detailed as you like, just to give you
just a bit of guidance. That's what I feel like I'm lacking.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
So yeah, it's not a great display of productivity regarding writing, but you know, the excuses are popping up in my head again. But I genuinely haven't been pissing time away like I sometimes do. Do you know what I mean? Like idly checking social media or whatever. So that's good.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me. Did you see Patrick's tweet in response to my slightly arsy comment in the last episode about childless writing?
Yeah.
A childless writer's having it easy.
Yeah.
It's quite a good response, wasn't it? He wrote, Anne Enright, Booker Prize winner, wrote an entire non-fiction book about being a writer while having children. Hasn't stopped her.
Yeah, nice one.
So I'm going to try not to use excuses. I probably should say I was deliberately being controversial.
Yeah, obviously.
That, you know.
Obviously.
I sort of immediately regretted saying it. I think I was hoping you might edit it out, actually, of the podcast, Tom. Because it was a bit insensitive as well, you know, because there are people who want children and can't have them, and I'm here.
They don't realize how lucky they are.
Yeah, so that kind of backfired. Anyway, you're right, Patrick. I know that you're right.
Of course he's
right. I'm going to just stop making excuses, I think. Yeah. I'm going to pretend to be an adult.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do some writing.
Well, I can't help feeling there's probably a lot of people listening to this that don't normally listen to us and really couldn't give a shit whether we've been writing or not. And they just want the details for the competition.
Yeah, that's probably true. Is it time to meet our star judge?
No, it's not, John.
Oh, no, it's not.
I literally gave you a running list of what was going to happen.
Okay, should we back up a little bit?
Mm-hmm,
So what now, Tom? What should we do? Should we...
We need to pick the subject of the competition.
Yeah.
Which we will do after this short break. Knock, knock!
Oh, hi, Tommy.
Oh, bad time, mate.
No.
Open the door, then.
Nope.
Come on, let me in.
Hang on. What?
So what... Oh, mother, what the...
I was just...
Planning to murder someone?
No.
Having some kind of episode where you think that telephones are talking to you and washing up liquid is a government mind-controlling device? Particularly the lemon fresh variety. It's all linked, isn't it? Isn't that?
What?
All the stuff on the walls with all the strings and clippings and...
No, that's planning for my novel.
Right. Looks,
intriguing.
Well, I was gonna say...
Like the musings of a brilliant mind.
Messy.
Oh.
Little bit scary, and probably not that useful.
Yeah. Just, I can't keep track of what's where, and... Well, it's taking me so much time just unravelling this little ball of red strings. Bloody knots in it. That...
You've done naffle writing.
Yeah.
And that's where Scrivener comes in.
Dave?
Oh, hello, mate. Didn't see you come in.
Oh, I'm not really here. I'm just doing the announce a bit on this Scrivener ad.
Oh, right.
Weird, but okay. Is that why you're talking in that slightly officious and bit too loud sort of way?
That's right.
Ah, okay. Crack on, then.
Get organised, shift stuff around, make editing easier and so much more. Research, notes, earlier drafts, all in the right place and all at your fingertips. And no string to untangle, guaranteed. Get a 30-day free trial at literatureandlatte.com and use the code FAILING for 20% off.
Should probably have used Scrivener, shouldn't I?
Not your fault, mate, is it? The washing up has been warping your mind.
You think?
Lemon fresh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, Tom, how's this going to work?
Well, do you remember Dave? Do you remember Dave? Funny looking chap.
Dave.
Weird little voice sometimes.
Oh, Dave. Yeah,
he used to do the podcast.
Mm.
Didn't want him getting left out.
Mm.
So I said, Dave, we're doing the whole story thing. We need a subject. And he said, Tom, say no more. Why don't I make a massive, massive Wheel of Fortune type thing? A wheel of themes.
Is that what that big thing is behind
That's
you?
That's what that is under the cover. So... Oh. Do you want to? You do the honours, please.
So I just pull this rope thing here.
Pull it off. Ooh.
Bloody
right,
hell.
What, like.
I tell you what.
That's quite good, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Finish on that bit. Look at that.
Listeners, I wish you could see this.
That is magic.
Look at the dovetailing on that.
Is that velvet around the... That's like a velvet.
It is, yeah.
Wow.
That is beautiful. Oh, and look at the clicker.
Oh, that's...
Is in the shape of Dave pointing skywards completely naked.
I don't
know. What a feature.
He could have... Yeah. We could cover that up, couldn't we, mummy?
Probably should cover that up.
We're assuming his talents aren't just aesthetic, that it actually will work if we spin it round. So should we give it...
Let's give it a go. I mean, presumably it makes a terrific noise as it spins.
Probably. I doubt it'll sound like a small frog farting. Let's Let's see. Give it a spin, John.
Here he goes.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my God, this is actually quite exciting.
There we go. It's just stop there.
So has okay. Dave written these, or are these the suggestions from our listeners?
Yeah, listener suggestions Dave's put me in. So,
all right, okay, cool.
Yeah, do you want to open that one? And just lift the flap and see what we've got?
This one says, interesting mushroom varieties.
So this, what?
Mushroom varieties, it says. It's not so much a theme, that, is it?
Let's call that practice spin.
Okay.
Just
yeah,
to check
practice
that it works
spin.
And everything.
Good call. Because
that's, and then whatever it lands on next, that'll be the
theme.
Yeah,
we'll definitely make that. That's it. That's, yeah, definitely the thing. Okay, let's go again.
Okay. Go.
You do it this time, Tommy. What have we got?
Okay. So the theme for our annual Flash Fiction 500-word competition is...
What's it called? What does it say?
Dogging.
That's not a theme either, is it? Should we just come up with one each and then flip a coin?
Yeah, go on then. Failing, because we're the failing writers. How about that?
So, oh, that's quite good. Yeah, I like that. I'll make that heads. And I'm going to go with birthdays.
Oh, I quite like that one. Yeah, it's quite
open. Or the birthday. Birthday.
Better than anything Dave came up with, isn't it? So what was he doing? Give him one job.
This one here says loft extensions.
See, that's not a theme for a story, really, is it? Owl pellets. What is that? How can you weave that into a story?
Trout farming, anyway, this one.
I'm glad we sacked him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Should we flip this coin then?
Yeah, so heads is failing, tails is birthday. Let's see.
All right, let's do it. His head's
failing.
Seems apt.
Well, it fits in, doesn't it?
It's good. Fit in quite nicely.
Good marketing wise, wasn't it, to tell everyone it's about failing?
Yeah, perfect.
Could be anything, that, couldn't it? Could be failing at something. Could be.
Yeah, you can come at it sideways from underneath.
Could be a failing body part causing a problem in a romantic relationship, couldn't it?
Could.
Could be anything.
Could.
Although the theme isn't dogging, so it might not be.
No, I like that. That's good. Yeah. All right, we've finally decided. That's perfect. Now we can move on with our lives.
Yeah, we'll have a little sit down. We'll have a little break now, and then we'll come back and we will tell you the phrase that needs to be included in your failing story to enter the competition. Fun times. Might give Dave a quick call as well, just to give him a piece of my mind. Dave, we've just been having a go with your wheel of themes.
Oh, yeah, it's a good bit of carpentry, that, wasn't it?
It was well made.
Thank you very much.
Some lovely details.
Oh, yeah.
But... Just,
you thought the velvet was too much?
No, the problem was...
It sounded like a frog farting when it spun.
Well, it did a bit, actually, yeah. But no, it was the themes, mate.
Ah, yeah. No, I did think that. I just came up with too many brilliant ones, didn't I?
Did I think you forgot to actually put them on the wheel?
Hey?
I mean, owl pellets. So...
Yeah, that was a good one.
Dogging? Was it?
Everyone likes dogs.
Well, yeah. Davey, they were terrible, mate.
Oh.
Me and John had to think of some of ourselves, on the spot.
Sorry about that, mate.
Well.
But no, how can I make it?
I think you've done enough damage.
Well, right? No, come on. I can just... have you come up with the phrase that needs to be included in the story yet?
Well, no. We were just about to do that. So we have got it covered, Davey. So, please don't.
No, it's okay. I'll do it.
Well, it depends what you're thinking. Nothing to do with dogging or anything.
No, I wouldn't dog it. No, well, no, look, just leave it with me. I'll email it to you.
We need it pretty quick, mate. We're going to do the reveal of the phrase like in literally 2 minutes, so...
No problem, mate. I'm on it.
You sure?
Not a problem. I am
you
on
sure
it.
You sure you can fit it in?
Of course, yeah. Look, I'll get it back to you in the shake of a guinea pig's tail. Go on, run.
Guinea pigs don't have to... Dave? Dave? So Dave, I spoke to Dave.
Oh yeah,
and he
How
said,
did that go?
"Well, he said he was gonna sort out the phrase."
Oh, brilliant!
He felt a bit bad about. I don't know if he felt bad actually. He seemed to think he'd done a good job of the themes, but never mind. He said he was gonna email through the phrase that needs to be in it, but I don't know. I didn't know whether he'd be too busy or not, but he said he was going to. So we just need to wait for the email. Really?
He
said he'd
all right. Oh, cool.
Away,
so it should. Be incoming any moment.
Yep. So,
is it worth getting a cup of tea and just hanging around for a bit?
I mean, he said he'd do it.
There's one there.
Ah,
Dave.
There we go. Right. Do you want to have a see what's in that?
Yep. So, oh.
What?
No, he's put is, sorry, I haven't got time.
He said he would be able.
Oh, hang on. What if that's the phrase?
Huh?
Do you think that's the phrase probably, isn't it?
It's more likely he just hasn't been too, well, could be the phrase, couldn't it?
Could we use it?
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't got time.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, it
fits in with failing.
It's very on brand.
It fits in with the podcast,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's perfect.
All right. Yeah, no, well done, Dave.
Dave, you've nailed
it. He's a genius, isn't he?
Actually a genius.
Isn't he clever?
He's good. Sorry, I haven't got time. So.
Very, very clever.
Just to recap.
Yeah.
In order for your entry to be accepted, you're going to have to use the phrase, sorry, I haven't got time, somewhere in your story.
So you need to use that phrase. It needs to have a theme, however loosely, of failing, and it needs to be 500 words or under.
Exactly. And it needs to include, sorry, I haven't got time. And that's pretty much most of the details you need to know. For all of the details, you need to go on our website and go to the blog.
Yep.
And everything you need to know is there about how you enter and how you send and what format your story needs to take, etc.
All that business.
Yeah. So website is failingwriterspodcast.com. Go there, get all the details, and yeah, good luck.
Now then, there's just one piece of the jigsaw missing, isn't there, John?
What's that then, Tom?
The judge, the person that you need to impress with your story in order to win.
Ah, yes. And it would be useful to hear what they say about writing flash fiction, wouldn't it?
It would be.
So maybe we could introduce them. They were quite specific about how they wanted to be introduced.
Yeah, well.
So,
see how we get on after this short break.
Accidentally getting a toothpick caught under your fingernail. Stepping on Lego barefoot. Picking the wrong queue at the supermarket. Putting the green bin out on a black bin day. All of these things are categorically and scientifically proven to be more fun than listening to the Failing Writers podcast. But here you are, and we can only thank you for your fortitude and resolute attitude. Thank you.
And now here she is, ladies and gentlemen, making her way towards us via a series of dangerous-looking sports. Woo-hoo! Oh, frontside triple cork. Nice, nice.
Yep, we're hearing she's arrived in the firing zone about half a mile away from Failing Writers Towers here, and I can see her on the monitors getting ready there.
Yep, she's being loaded as we speak into the cannon by Dave. Nice work, Dave. All right, he's giving us a thumbs up.
Right, David, light the fuse.
Three, two, one. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for our multi-award-winning flash fiction fanatic, our star judge. It's the one and only Kathy Hoyle. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really
How lovely to see you. What an entrance.
Happy to be here. Thank you. Yes. Just, I need a moment to recover, but.
Yeah.
You sound very calm for someone who's just been shot out of a cannon.
I'm very zen. I'm a very zen person.
So, Kathy, your specialism when it comes to writing is short form fiction.
Yes.
Obviously, particularly flash fiction.
Yeah.
What got you into that? Why go short?
I'm far too lazy to write a novel is the honest answer. I have tried in the past and got maybe 20,000 words in and thought
I thought you were going to say 500 words.
No. No, one time I got about 20,000 words and I just thought, oh no, this is not for me. I like fiction that just punches you in the face. is how I describe
it.
Short, sharp, edgy, emotional.
Get in, get out.
Yeah, in, out. Thank you very much. I like brevity. I think there's so much to be done.
All right, don't go on about it.
I know, look, I'm really excited about short fiction. I can't help myself. I do
just
go
a brevity
on about
joke,
it.
But yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Do you read?
Put it back in the canon, John. Come on.
Back it. She's not. It's quite late. It's late.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Not the sharpest tool in the box.
And this is the lady that's judging your stories, people. By the way.
Sorry. I'll read in the mornings.
Presumably, you don't have the same reaction to reading. Like, I'm guessing you read novels. You read a bit of everything, do you? Or do you read a lot of flash fiction?
I read a lot of flash and short fiction.
Right.
I like some novels.
Is that as far as you're willing to go on?
No, <that's>...
Yeah, yeah.
That's as far as I'm willing to go. I used to read only novels before I became a writer.
Right, oh, interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. And I would read anything, any genre, any kind of novels. And I loved reading novels then. But now, again, it's just I'm so used to writing and reading short fiction that anything lengthy has to be really spectacular to hold my attention.
Yeah.
And there are some obviously spectacular novels out there. Mm. But I read for work, I read for competitions, for work, for, you know, just to inform myself of what's out there in the world of short fiction. So I do tend to mainly read short
fiction.
Yeah,
that's mainly what you consume.
I guess there is an element, isn't there, with it's unfair to expect anyone but the most brilliant of writers and editors to shape and craft a novel, which is so many words, to the same precision as something that's 500 or 1,000 words.
Mm. Yeah.
You can really get in there and choose every single word and movement of phrase and everything, can't you, in a flash fiction that's just physically impossible in a novel, unless you're going to make it your life's work.
Well, I was going to say it'd be a lengthy process if you did edit to that detail. But one thing I will say, and I'm a workshop host at Writers HQ, so we do have novelists there and short fiction writers, and the novelists who write flash with us say it really helps their process, honing their editing skills as novelists. The more flash they write, the more they get used to sort of paring down those sentences very quickly.
Yeah.
So it does inform novelists, I would say. So. Yeah.
I was looking at your list of awards because you've been shortlisted and you've won so many over the years, including winning the Bath Flash Fiction Award last year with The Metamorphosis of Evelyn Jackson. The list is massive. So I'm kind of intrigued. How many flash fiction stories do you reckon you write, like, a year?
When I wasn't... I'm studying now at University of Leicester. So prior to that, I would write 100 flash pieces a year and aim for 100 submissions. And I would say I was successful with probably about 15-20% of those. When I say successful, I mean shortlist, longlist, placing.
But even getting a long list is amazing.
It really is, because there's a lot of flash writers out there. There's a lot of competitions and there's a lot of literary journals. But on the plus side, there's a lot of places to get published and have your work seen as a flash writer.
Yeah.
But so I was writing a lot more than what I am now, which is I'm writing short stories now, which take much longer.
Oh, right. Are you doing a PhD? Was that?
I'm doing a PhD at the University of Leicester,
A
short story collection based on my Northeast heritage.
Oh,
so all stories, working class stories around the Northeast.
And how long do you think that'll take you?
I think it'll take me about 150 years, probably. Longer? No. It's 4 years, but I've only done 1 year so far, so I'm still in the happy phase of my PhD. I think somewhere in the middle, it all goes a bit. From what I've heard, it can all go a little bit weird in the middle, but I'm enjoying it. I love it.
Oh,
I love
good.
That. Yeah, but I do still write flash alongside it, but nowhere near as many as I was. The successes are partly just down to writing endlessly.
Don't say it's a numbers game, because
it's
you
not
still
a numbers game,
very
I don't
good.
Think.
It is just thinking of quantity, isn't it, over quality, this, John? Is that what you're thinking? Is this the way into it?
It's not how
just write
works.
Any old tat, but as long as you keep the
any
numbers
old
up.
Any old tat.
Just, yeah.
Chuck it in.
Someone's going to like it somewhere.
Well, I would sell Flash short if I said that, because actually I am passionate about Flash and the crafting of it. Yeah. And I think some folks who might not know much about Flash might think, oh, it's just 500 words. You could do that every day. But Flash writers get a bit sniffy about that.
Of course.
They're like, no, it's a real craft. It's a lot to pack into a very short space. Yeah. And there's an element of work to it. But you can learn that.
How long would it normally take you? I know that's a stupid question, and it would massively vary depending on what you're writing. But say, roughly how long would it take you to write, say, like a 250-word Flash piece?
Oh, that's tricky, because I don't tend to write every day. Mm. I'm a muller. I mull stories in my head and brew them.
You're right, and that is part of the writing process, isn't it? It's like, I'll walk the dog and I'll think
totally
about
agree.
Stuff for ages.
Yeah.
And that's what enables me to write in a way. So it's like, well, that was part of the process.
Yeah. So when I come to the page with Flash, it's usually almost fully formed, and I'll put a draft down and then I'll throw it away for ages. I just say, that's a draft. I'll leave that there and I'll do that the next one. And then I sort of cycle back around maybe a couple of weeks later and then edit it.
Right.
So it usually 3 or 4 weeks to complete a Flash, but I'm not writing for 3 or 4 weeks.
And you'll have several on the go at once, obviously.
Always. I mean, I would say on the go at once, I would have 20 stories.
Bloody hell.
When I was writing, you know, just Flash.
I would be so confused about what was going on in which story and who was in what and why.
I think just because, like, with Flash,
smashing them together.
Yeah, there's usually only one character.
Yeah.
Or two in a sort of conflict or dynamic. So it's not like a short story where you've got lots of different characters and you're trying to weave everything together. But I do think they need to, Flash especially needs to be rested, because they have to have impact. So if you put it away for 3 weeks and then you read it again and nothing's going on, you're not feeling anything, then it hasn't worked, and you need to do something with it. Because with anything you write initially, you put it on the page and you go, oh my God, I'm a genius. This is amazing. And then, you know, you work on it and realise you're not. Yeah. But Flash has to be really impactful. So I think that kind of process of writing it, leaving it and going back is really important.
That's interesting, yeah, because we talk about doing that with novels, you know, put it away for a bit and then reread it. But with Flash, I've not heard that before.
That's how I tend to work. I mean, I don't know if that's correct or if there's a correct way to write
for
anybody.
Good. It's so hard to be objective, isn't it? I think one of the problems as well is that we've done a couple of Flash fiction things, but they've been 24-hour competitions. So you don't have the luxury of putting them away. You just have to go, that's fine, whatever, good, finished.
Yeah, I mean, there are competitions like that. There are quite a lot, actually, of competitions like that. But I would say come to those competitions with something at least half ready made, because it's, you know, if you want to write a really good Flash, you've got to do the same as any other writing.
Is
work on it, edit it, think about it. What am I doing here? You know, again, lots of Flash writers could get a bit sniffy about, it's not just a quick fix.
Well, it's bloody hard. It is really hard.
It is hard. When I first started writing, I was really crap at it, and I wanted to be really, really good, and I wasn't, like with most writing, and I kept sort of thinking, what am I doing wrong here? And the only way I learned was to read lots of Flash. And read it in the good places, Smoke Long, Wig Leaf, you know, all the Reflex fiction long lists, Bath, places like that.
Yeah.
So you really get to learn what other Flash writers, those who are sort of at the top of their game, what they're doing with Flash.
So you're saying that's an important part of, that's a big bit of advice that you would give people who are entering our competition, apart from anything.
Yeah, I would say if you're entering the competition, please, first of all, read at least some Flash.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it's really important. And you get a feel for it the more you read and the more you practice. I think I would say as well, just tips. If you've never written Flash before, the first thing is there's no setup to Flash. So you don't need to set your story up, just go straight in. right at the point of conflict. Yeah. So read and start right at the point of conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, our competition is now officially on. And the subject matter, because I don't think I've mentioned this to you before, Kathy, is failing.
Oh, that's a good one.
So the story has to involve failing in some way. It can be very loosely.
Yes.
We're not going to be kind of overly strict on that. But obviously, if we don't see any link with failing at all,
yeah,
you're probably not going to win.
I like that. That's a great theme. Love that.
Okay, good. I'm pleased you said that.
That's good.
Because I was going to say, what do you think, kind of off the record?
No, I like it.
But that's fine. We'll keep that.
We'll do it on the record. She likes it, John.
But for you, Kathy, what are you really looking for in a great flash piece? Or maybe the question should be, what do you not want to see?
That's easier.
What's going to go straight in the bin?
No one goes in the bin.
No, you won't go in the bin.
We love flash writers. Okay, so I probably am a little bit narky about prose poems that are thinly disguised as flash. So I like a narrative arc,
okay, yeah,
in flash fiction. I see a lot of sort of vignettes and just like monologues, and I think, and sometimes the language is amazing, or the writing's fantastic, but I'm like, well, nothing's really happened here.
So ultimately, sorry, just to clarify that, by a prose poem, you're basically saying there has to be a story, right?
Yes.
It has to have
100%.
Moved on by the end in some way. There's a character and something happens to them. Is it as simple as that, or is it more complex than that?
It's as complex as you make it. Good flash has lots of layers. So there's a surface story where a character moves from A to B, something happens. And then there's sort of layers you can weave in using kind of clever language. All of those things I love. And I like a poet's toolkit, so I like sort of lyrical prose and all those wonderful things you could use, but certainly not just an image and a musing. That's not for me. I want something to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the shift can be subtle. Mm. It doesn't have to be a great big sort of ta-da sort of thing. But with flash, it's more an emotional response.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for flash, I want to feel something when I'm reading the story. Yeah. That's kind of my top tip.
It's interesting what you were saying before about poetry.
Mm.
I was going to ask, do you mind if I read one of your flash fiction pieces out? One of my favourites.
No, go ahead.
And the reason I want to read it is because I feel like it might inspire people looking to enter this competition to sort of think beyond the usual ways of telling a story, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not saying do it like this. I'm just saying, you know, there are lots of ways to tell a story.
Yes.
And, you know, it's worth kind of playing with some ideas before you start. But this piece, I think, it just tells a story in, I almost want to say, like, close-up photos, but moving photos in Technicolor with, like, smell-o-vision and touch. It's called Sea Fret by Kathy Hoyle. Sea listens. Boys, three boys, lithe-limbed boys with windswept curls, slipping on seaweed, clinging and climbing on mossy rocks, catcalling through cupped hands. Boys who bellow dares and whoop and push and land in icy sea foam spray, voices on the cusp of breaking. Sea wants. Boys, three boys, bare-chested boys with mammal blood and thumping hearts and slick white bone, not salted shell or rough-scaled fin. Boys who taste of youth and joy and fragrant grass on summer days. Boys who bravely dive from rusted pier to swelling tide, ignoring warning voices echoing on crested waves. Sea takes. Boy, smallest boy, sweet plump boy with fading breath and aching legs and fingertips that briefly touch then slip away. Boy whose mother just that morning packed him rounds of buttered bread and apple cake and warned of vicious sea with riptide curl and unseen snarling teeth below. Smallest boy, with tiny final cry, drowned out by sound of beating mammals' hearts and screams from voices on the cusp of breaking. Sea leaves. Boys. Two boys. Lithe-limbed boys with bare chests heaving, salted tears on milk-pale cheeks, standing deathly still on sharp stone shore. Boys who start to shiver, clammy cold together, as they watch the sea fret mist roll in to haunt their minds with guilt-soaked dreams forever. That's very beautiful, that.
Thank you.
But it's not far from poetry.
Not far.
At all,
they
really
are close cousins. And obviously you can hear in that the lyrical language, alliteration, repetition,
yeah,
all of, as I say, you can use,
yeah,
your poet's toolkit to write Flash.
Mm.
But there is a story there and something happens, albeit something terrible, yeah. Obviously.
And that's the thing that tips it into Flash yes. fiction, isn't it, in a yeah. way, I guess.
There's a lot of ways you can structure Flash, some fabulous ways. Hermit crab Flash, which sort of sits under the guise of maybe, I don't know, a recipe or an instruction booklet or something like that. There's fragmented Flash, where you can fast forward or flash back, those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, you can just use just dialogue. Again, by reading all these different Flash pieces available, you can see how people structure their work in incredible ways. I mean, I've seen Flash fiction as crossword puzzles, as a guess who once, and they even had like the faces that you flipped them down with each kind of paragraph. It was fabulous. So, you know, there are magazines like Void Space that really show you how you can do sort of interactive Flash, digital Flash, all those kinds of things. Probably for this competition, I would keep it a little bit more simple than that. but, you know, there are really fabulous ways to structure your work.
You can play with the form, yeah.
100%, yeah, it's really pliable form. That's what I love about it. It's edgy, pliable, use your white space. And the title is so important. So that's a tip for your writers. Because you've got such a short space to write in.
Do a 500-word title. I've said this before.
Yeah, I've seen massively long titles, and they're brilliant, some of them. In fact, there is one, and I wish I could remember it now, but it's basically all title, and it's to my boyfriend, basically, who cheated on me. And then the whole story is one word. It goes, ha!
Nice.
But it's really funny. But the usual title, because it's so important, and it can really set your story up. When I say that you don't have time for a setup, actually your title can be the place to do that, to set your story
right
up.
Yeah.
And what should the title do then? Obviously it will depend slightly on the story, but should it be a hint at the outcome, or should it be a setup for the situation, or where do you...
Well, it can be both of those things, or either or those things, as long as it's going to do something to help the story.
So it's got
to
do some work.
Yeah, it's not just...
Rather than just existing as a...
Yeah, as a title. Yeah. Mm. And the ones that really pull you in are interesting titles as well as interesting stories.
Mm.
So, yeah, make your title do some work. And that's going to help you out a lot when you're writing. There's loads of tips. I mean, I think on Writers HQ I've done top 10 tips for writing Flash if people want to have a look at it. There's things like you're talking about, write things honestly, things that matter to you, things you're passionate about. Mm.
Oh, wait, so do you know what? I've got a quote here from your top 10 tips on Writer's
HQ. Oh, have you?
And I thought it was brilliant. It was, emotional resonance is key.
Yeah.
Go to the places you don't want to visit and write about that.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
There's an element of bravery in Flash because you've got such a short space to make an emotional impact. You've got to go there. That is the place. And some people are really hesitant about that. But the stories that I've had most success with are talking about, you know, my own fears. So Eveline Jackson is about a young girl that something terrible happens to. And I've got daughters that age. That would be my worst fear. So that's what I'm putting on the page, you know, under a guise, so to speak. But, write those things, because they're the things readers will understand.
But that's why it's hard to write those things, isn't it? Because you do have to expose yourself. You do have to kind of take the veil off a little bit.
But the beauty of that is, yeah, we've got characters who can do that for us, though.
Hide
we can hide
them.
Behind a character. It's not us, it's the character. Yeah. But you could use specific details from your own lives, put them into your fiction. That makes things really interesting. You know, maybe one incident that happened to you, you could start building your Flash around that.
What if your life's really boring? Does that then makes it more difficult? Just write about it.
Everybody
anyway.
Feels something, though. I think all of us as human beings have felt something in our lifetime, and write the thing that made you feel the most.
And to be fair, with the theme of failure, there's a little bit of a gift in there, isn't there, for being able to tap into some emotions one way or another there. Yeah.
For sure.
Kathy, you were saying before, you often run the Writers HQ Flash face-off evenings.
Yes,
which I've been saying we need to do, Tom.
Yeah, yes.
Maybe for the podcast, I don't know. But it sounds like great fun. tell us how it works. How does Flash face-off work?
Oh, it's brilliant. I wish it was my idea initially, but it wasn't. It was Joe Gatford, who's the founder of Writers HQ. But I kind of, you know, said, that's mine. I love this. I'm going to do this every Friday for the rest of my life. So on Saturday mornings, we post prompts up on the Writers HQ website, picture prompts and quotes, and invite people to write 500 words, which they post into the forums, and they get feedback from their fellow flashers, which is great because, you know, you get so much help editing the pieces. And then on Friday nights, I pick four of those stories, and they get to read them aloud, and we have beers and we chat and we have a load of fun, and it's quite sweary and silly sometimes. But over the 2 years, some people have published, you know, their first ever stories, or now people have published, I don't know, 20 stories just from writing week on week on week. And in that sense, it is a numbers game because we're encouraging people to write every single week. And they've written loads of Flash, published loads of Flash. We've got this lovely community where everyone's welcome. We get new people every week, and they all say, God, I feel so welcome when we come and join you.
And a load of regulars as well, I'm
guessing. And the regulars, yeah. And it's all free. Anyone can join us. So we have great fun with that. I love doing it. I love doing Flash Face Off.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about, you've written a novella in Flash called Chasing the Dragon.
Yes.
Which I've got a couple of questions about. Firstly, I've come across the phrase novella in Flash before, but I'm not totally sure I understand what it means.
No,
elucidate for us.
No, it's that's a kind of a still quite niche genre, I would say. It's basically small stories or flash stories that all kind of join together under the umbrella of a larger story, way I can describe. So the more of the shorter stories you read, the wider picture sort of opens out, and you get the full view of the novella.
So they're like very short chapters in a way, but they're not necessarily chronological. They just inform a longer story or a bigger story, a wider story.
Is it like, to use a, stop me if I'm getting too like academic with this metaphor, but is it like the game show Catchphrase that used to be on ITV?
It's exactly like that,
where
yeah.
you can reveal one square and you might be able to guess what Mr. Chips is doing.
Yes.
But you can reveal some more and you definitely get to know.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And sometimes it looks like Mr. Chips is doing something.
There's
really
strange. Right on the night.
Yeah. Suddenly it's revealed. Yeah, just stroking his cat.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But it's it was something that I wanted to have a go at. I found it really hard, actually, to write a novella in Flash. And there are people out there who write them all the time. But I found it hard. I loved it. I loved the challenge of it. Not sure I'd do another one. but it's been really well received. So I'm really happy with, you know, the people who have read it have said that they've liked it. It's quite, if folks are going to look at it, it's quite fierce because it's about the Vietnam War and there's a lot of swearing. It's quite graphic in places because, you know, I like to write like jolly stuff about trauma. But it's interesting to do as a challenge, as a writer. It was interesting to do.
That sort of brings me on to the second question I had about it, because it is written, or at least it begins, from the point of view of a young American man, TJ.
Yes.
How did you find that voice? Because it seems to me, at least, it was, you know, very authentic, very authentically kind of small town, backwater US.
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
It just makes me laugh when I honestly answer this, but Dolly Parton and Tammy Wynette.
That's right. What we said. We were talking about it before, and I said that's probably what it
honestly,
is.
Honestly,
it's obvious.
It's
obvious.
Of course it is. Because why wouldn't she be connected with Texas and the Vietnam War? No, I have listened to country music all my life, And
so you were channeling.
I was channeling
the country stars.
This wow. sort of country voice, and then I had to have somebody from Texas read it because I thought, are they just going to think I've lost the plot here? But they said, no, it's really good. It sounds like it does sound authentic. So,
how much did they change?
Not a lot. No,
not
nothing.
A lot.
So wow. I have Brilliant. To thank Dolly Parton for my novella. And anyway, the folks who know me, I am a huge fan of Dolly Parton, and I have no shame in saying it.
Who is?
I love her.
She's amazing.
My spirit animal. Yeah, I became a writer because I couldn't be a country music star. So
I think if anyone wants to win this competition, they've got it all set out there, haven't they? They need to make it about some kind of country music theme, about failing in country music.
Yes.
And then with a massive long title, that's important.
Yes.
You know that some people are going to take this very literally, Tom.
I don't mind that, though. I'm up for reading that, I have to say. I'd quite like that. No, we're not. You can write whatever you like, folks. They're not guiding you in any way. I'm open to all kinds of interpretations of failure.
Good. What is the most useful bit of advice that you've ever had regarding flash fiction? Because you must have talked to a lot of people in the flash world, or maybe just writing generally. But is there a bit of advice that sort of stuck in your mind and you're like, yeah, thanks for that. That was a good one.
I think I'm going to quote Joe Gatford, who's been my mentor, and obviously she's the founder of Writers HQ. She always says, write about the fundamental nugget of truth.
Mm.
And basically, what is hitting you in the heart, write about that. And it's a little bit cliched and a little bit kind of like, what does that mean? Because it means something different to everybody. But write about the thing that makes you cry or laugh or feel joyful or feel something. It has to be there. Otherwise, the writing has no energy. There's nothing. You can write using wonderful language and, you know, you can use imagery, you can use all those wonderful things, but if I'm not feeling anything, then it's nothing. It's not working. So, yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice to end on, I reckon. Unless you've got anything else, Tom.
No, I was just going to thank Kathy again.
You're very welcome.
So look forward to speaking to you in, how long is it? 3.5 weeks have people got, John?
I think that's about right, yeah.
That's a good length of time to write a flash. So.
It's a good enough time for someone to write something and have a look at it. Put it away, have another look at it and get it edited.
Yeah, put it away for a week, come back, edit it.
The closing date of the competition is the 29th of September at 9 o'clock in the morning, UK time. Get it done before then, people.
Otherwise, you will be a failure. And your story won't be about failure. You will be the failure.
Motivational speech from Tom.
It's a motivational.
It's how we roll to end on. Podcast, really, so come on, you losers, get writing. It's just motivational, really.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. Lovely talking to you, and we will talk to you again in about a month's time.
Do you want to go back out in the cannon, or do you want to
just want to leave
the
through
door,
the door?
Or?
I think I'll probably go through the door. I feel a bit sore after being fired.
Does, yeah.
But thank you very much for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to reading all the stories that come in.
Kathy Hoyle there, and we'll drop links to her website below, where you can read some of her outstanding work, and you can also actually. On that website, don't know if you spotted it, Tom, but you can find out about her flash fiction feedback services, where she will, for a very reasonable fee, look at your flash fiction and suggest how you might improve it. So you probably can't do that for our competition, as she's actually the judge.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, that, wouldn't it? Under the, you probably could. You shouldn't have said that. Yeah,
no.
They probably could under some kind of guise. But, she would recognise it, though, again, wouldn't she? Hold on a minute.
But if you are thinking of entering some other flash comp and you want your piece to be as good as it can be, it's definitely worth checking that out. So, Tom, the Failing Writers £500 500-word flash fiction competition in association with Scrivener is finally underway.
It is. It's literally happening now,
so
isn't it?
That is very exciting. This is honestly one of my favourite times of the year.
Yeah.
Can't wait to read your entries, people.
It is fantastic. We say this every time, but I remember the first year we ran it. And guess we weren't expecting that much. And we got so many entries from so many places and so many different, like really different spins and styles of writing and all sorts. It's just
so true. And you get like this little endorphin rush every time the email goes ping.
Yeah.
Looking forward to reading them.
Definitely.
So is it time now for our regular feature where we present a listener's work in progress and then have a little chat about it? Is that what time it is, Tom?
That is exactly the time it is.
Awesome. And have we finally run out of names for it?
I think we have. I think we've exhausted the whip puns that we have at our disposal. So this one this week is from Jonathan Aldridge, and it's called The Honeypot. He says this is his fourth full rewrite.
Bloody hell.
So he's been working on it for nearly 3 years, and in the process of those rewrites has gone through upwards of 200,000 words.
Gee.
And it's kind of morphed from what it was at the start. So he said at the start it was kind of a realist literary fiction. And what it's ended up at is like a kind of a comic farce pointed political satire.
I think someone mentioned, didn't they, that it might work as a satire. And so he just really leaned into that. He took someone's advice.
Yeah.
And then it seemed to click.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting what he said. I mean, hence him sending it in to us, I guess. But he said he used to keep his writing private, but is now all about sort of crowdsourcing ideas.
Yeah. Sending it out there.
Yeah.
Which effectively is what has made this what it is by doing that. So I think that's probably good advice.
Yeah. Well,
as terrifying as that is to put it out there, that is the way, isn't it? It's the way forward.
So shall we have a little listen to chapter one?
Let's do that.
The Honeypot by Jonathan Aldridge. Chapter 1. Sorry. Another unthinkable crisis has torn through the department today. And much as it pains me to fail Harmon, it's time I came clean.
Sir, I'm terribly sorry. It's all my fault,
I cry. Harmon swings around in his swivel chair and claps me on the ear, forcing a gasp from my lips.
Jobson, what have I told you? Never apologise. It's a sign of weakness, and you don't want people thinking you're a sissy, do you?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I forgot,
I say, my head ringing. He slaps me on the other ear, and I yelp, clutching my head.
There, you did it again.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Jobbo!
Harmon bellows, thumping both ears like they're a pair of cymbals. My head is throbbing.
Sir, I'm sure it won't happen again.
That's the ticket!
Harmon leans back and crosses his arms.
Now, what the devil is this about?
Tomothy and Eleanor are watching me side-eye from their swivel chairs, and I shoot them a glance which says, look and learn. If I must fling myself at Harmon's feet, then I'll do it with gusto and be the best groveler he's ever seen.
It's your latte, sir. The baristas at Pret forgot the extra shot. Everything else is perfect. Vanilla syrup, 2 sugars, but I shouldn't have trusted them, damn it! I should have performed my due diligence.
Harmon swigs from the cup and spews it out over my shirt.
Those bastards,
he grumbles. I nod my head gravely. I know, sir.
Never mind, Jobbo, there's always tomorrow, and do try not to be so honest. It's rather unbecoming.
Nonetheless, sir, I'll write up a lessons learned report by close of play, if you don't mind me staying late.
Righto, no harm done.
Harmon pulls me onto his lap and wraps his meaty arm around my shoulder.
Say, next time, let you and I go out for a Pret instead, yes? My treat.
Really, sir? I'd love that. We could discuss my career progression,
I say, by which I mean I still hope to be promoted over Tomothy and Eleanor, despite this hiccup. Harmon massages my shoulder.
Your progression? Yes, I suppose we can cover that too,
he says. I'm sure he means it this time. I've been greasing the wheels long enough. Tomothy and Eleanor are rolling their eyes like I'm a blatant sycophant. But they're the fools. Fucking up, them fawning about it, endears you more to a senior person than being nice or capable. Tomothy is nice and Eleanor is capable. Tomothy is so nice, he never lies to get what he wants, but there's a ceiling for that sort of behaviour. It's called grade 7. Eleanor is capable, which itself is an impediment here, as capable people tend to ask logical questions and therefore expose their colleagues. Eleanor doesn't realise that our real job is to maintain the illusion that the left hand knows what the right is doing.
She's also such a bureaucrat that she'd never buy the director his favourite hot drink, simply because it's not in her job description. I, however, am rather clever. The more I practice at office politics, the more I find, A, I'm rather good at it, and B, it's bloody good fun. I sip my latte casually. John Jobson, you cunning operator. Harmon will never know you forgot to order the extra shot all along.
Sit down, Jobbo.
Harmon says, wheeling over a swivel chair.
Let's brainstorm.
Absolutely, sir. I have many ideas. I sit facing him. Brainstorm about what?
I'll tell you, but this is highly confidential information, yes?
Harmon booms across the office.
The minister is in hot water. He's down in the public opinion polls. The media are ignoring him. The PM has essentially forgotten about him. And there are rumours of a cabinet reshuffle. He's heading for a nervous breakdown or, worse, irrelevance.
I thought the migration and refugee bill was getting him back on the map, I say.
Nope, that sank like a sack full of foreigners. We made the bill as outrageous and dystopian as possible, but nobody noticed or cared.
I scratch my chin and frown, giving the appearance of deep thought.
The minister is awfully nice, and he means well, which is a big problem,
Harmon says.
It makes him easily led, and that makes him dangerous. It's vital I keep him under control, so if you see him unguarded, then fetch me right away.
Yes, sir. Excellent idea.
Now, what he needs is a hook,
Harmon continues.
A crisis. Something terrifying and unlikely, and a little bit sexy too, which will put the scares on the public and turn all eyes on us.
Yes, I say. But what? Suddenly a fast streamer flies down the corridor and screeches to a stop in front of us, bent double. Sir, a big buzzing, a buzz of big... He pants. Harmon and I stand up, and Eleanor and Tomothy leave their swivel chairs.
What's that, young man?
Harmon says. A swirling swarm of... A significantly sizable swarm of...
Take a deep breath, then out with it.
Harmon barks. They're quickly closing in on... There's a cornucopia at the Cornish coast of...
Can anyone make head or tail of him?
Harmon looks at us and we shrug.
What a farce.
Really reliable reports from the regions of... Harmon sighs.
This could take a while, Jobbo. Fetch the sherry from my office, yes?
Yes, sir. Excellent idea, I say. But barely have I turned to dash off than the fast streamer cries, of bees!
Righto, which one of you wants to...
Harmon says, but already I've shot my hand skywards, stretching my shoulder socket until it aches.
Righto, Jobbo, but do try not to be so eager.
Yes, sir. Excellent idea, I say eagerly. Chapter 2. Nothing? I do enjoy a crisis. I can drop my entire business critical workload to do something even more business critical. The implication being that what I was working on wasn't business critical after all. Of course, I furrow my brow in the meeting room as we all pretend to be concerned. We discuss where the bees came from, why they're migrating, how we should respond, and how it all may end. Because none of us have any actual knowledge of these things, the exercise is entirely pointless and rather fun. As we move on to potential policies, someone says, wait a minute, who here can actually make a decision on something? We look at each other blankly. No one higher than a middle manager among us. Suddenly the door swings open. A short, fat man with tousled hair tumbles into the room, calling back his spads
what,
in the corridor.
What, in here? But have I been briefed? How will I know what to say?
Then the minister turns to us, clears his throat, sits down firmly and tousles his hair again.
One here, everyone. Carry on.
To think, lowly Jobson, meeting the minister. I'll dine out on this for months. I sit up straight and try to hide my smile behind a serious face. We appraise the minister of the facts so far, and he nods sagely.
From the US across the Atlantic, you say?
He muses.
Well, who can blame the bees for hopping the pond? The states are inhospitable, the media is biased, the culture is vulgar, the healthcare is privatised, they import their food and energy and export nothing of value. And don't get me started on the politics. What a circus!
Every person laughs hysterically and for a considerable duration.
One man from finance turns red and faints in a rather desperate attempt to influence upwards, and I wish I'd come up with it myself.
It's no wonder they're coming to Great Britain,
the minister goes on.
We're the greatest nation in the world, the beating heart of the West, the origin of civilization, the home of good manners and traditional values. They probably heard we're a haven for insect kind. And I bet our meadows are more appealing and our flowers far yummier than the Yanks, no?
Yes, Minister, absolutely, Minister, we say. The Minister points to the fast streamer.
First, let's call the US, find out who's granting these bees legal passage without suitable documentation.
The fast streamer glances around, desperately confused.
Documentation, sir?
Next, we need a plan.
The Minister claps his hands on the table.
Obviously, I can't come up with ideas. You tell me the options and I'll pick one.
I sit forward. Minister, we're dreadfully short on our pollination targets for the 12th year running, I say. The extra resources could act as a vital catalyst for British food production and biodiversity.
So we invite them to stay,
the minister nods.
Full access to our yummy flora and let them get to work.
But there's a problem, the fast streamer says shakily. We think this is a swarm of Africanized bees. The minister's face scrunches up.
Africanized? I thought they were coming from the US. Don't confuse me, please.
I'm sorry, it couldn't be helped, the fast streamer says. Africanized bees come from the US. They're commonly called killer bees. The minister claps his hands and chuckles.
Killer bees! Fantastic! This will get the PM's attention, won't it?
Yes, Minister.
And the public? They'll notice.
Yes, Minister, the fast streamer says. But once the bees make land, they may start killing people. The minister frowns.
It is a sticky wicket. So, we tell them to turn their boats around,
he says. They're not on boats, sir. They're bees.
There you go. That was chapter one of The Honeypot by Jonathan Aldrich.
Well, chapter one and a half, actually. But yeah, I would say an enjoyable little jaunt.
I thought it was one of the most upsetting things I've read for a while.
Why is that?
Because firstly, I could absolutely imagine the current government being run like that.
Right.
In fact, on the evidence of the last few years, I think you'd struggle to convince me that it's not maybe slightly worse than that. But secondly, this is another writer of such quality and who has such a firm grasp of his craft.
Yeah.
It's just another person who's out there writing high quality stuff and, you know, it would seem unnoticed.
Yeah.
So it's just another kind of travesty in my eyes. I think it's one of my favourite work in progress bits that we've done.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I think I started reading it, and you know when you kind of start something like this, and obviously there's been things like The Thick of It sort of recently-ish and much less recently, yeah, stuff like Yes Minister, you know, people, there's been,
yeah, it's
plenty of satire in this area, hasn't there?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, I hope it's not just kind of a bit of a
reworking or
a pale rehash, kind of, you know, kind of a bit sort of insipid and what have you, but it really wasn't, was it?
No,
it had a lovely freshness and sharpness to it.
Yeah, it's big and cartoonish. And
it is, the level of ridiculousness really, really,
yeah,
breezes it along, doesn't it?
He's pushing it as far as he can push it without it being absolutely ridiculous. I quite like that.
Do you know, I got halfway down that first page and for the rest of it, I couldn't help feeling that this perhaps, to my mind and to my ears, this isn't perhaps a novel. This is a Radio 4 series.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I know we've read it out there, but if you imagine it sort of being acted out by a troupe of actors,
yeah, yeah,
and the right people casting it,
yeah, what us, you mean, Tom?
Oh, like properly us. Talented people, John. Yeah, but just like kind of, I could just hear it on a satirical Radio 4, and now on Radio 4,
people would love this. I think
it belongs there.
I think
so. Jonathan, scrap all this novel nonsense. Rewrite it as a radio play.
The poor guy.
But he's already done four rewrites. He's not going to. Another one's not going to do any harm, is it?
I am going to step in and say it worked absolutely fine for me as a novel.
It completely did. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Maybe write the novel first, get that to be a bestseller,
and then make more money out of it by reselling it.
Yeah, exactly. But it just had, I guess it was just, it's probably testament to his sharpness of the dialogue and the ability to be in the head of the protagonist in that lovely way of just, I don't know, there's just a nice, how would you put it, a naiveness to the narrator, wasn't
it? He's actually quite a likable character, isn't he? Even though he's a bit
of a dick. You could tell he wasn't quite understanding the entire world around him, but he was still completely plugged into it. So he wasn't just completely hapless of it. In his head, he knew what was going on, and he was. But as a observer, from what he was giving out, you were thinking, "Oh, come on, sunshine, do yourself."
He's desperate to play the game, isn't he? He's fully invested.
Yeah, and he thinks he is. He thinks he's doing the right moves.
Right. He's politicking beautifully. But it feels like every line is doing work here. You know, we always say this about comedy, but it's either funny or it's pushing the plot forward, or it's kind of rounding out the characters, or it's doing all of them.
Yeah, ideally, yeah.
And there's nothing. It just felt like there was nothing wasted. I think we probably need some sort of big round of applause here, Johnny.
Yeah.
It was really excellent. You can tell how hard you worked on it. It does feel very home, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's very slick. Yeah. Definitely. Really good. Really good.
So, yeah, well done.
Do you know what? I'd written quite a few notes on this, John. Do you know what my last note is?
Oh, yeah, go on.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really hope it becomes a book. It feels like...
Yeah, I mean, I can't be asked reading the novel, Jonathan. I'm just going to wait till it comes on Radio 4. If you can crack on with that bit, like get the book thing done, that would be best for me, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, it was marvellous. What a beautiful thing to end on, Tom.
Isn't it lovely?
It was really lovely.
I mean, as if our opinion means anything, but I'm sure, nevertheless, hopefully, Jonathan.
But it's so nice to know that people enjoyed things that you've created.
Oh, yeah.
No matter who they are, even a couple of idiots like us.
We've been so lucky with the work in progress that people have sent in. Again, it's like we were saying about the competition. There's been such a breadth of different stuff.
Mm.
And even in the ones that were like quite raw, fresh work in progress that maybe hadn't been sort of edited down and polished.
Yeah.
There's still that core of, oh God, that's an idea. You know, the idea and the...
That's it.
Oh, there's something in them. It's something to get excited about, isn't there?
Because of course, you're right. A lot of the work in progresses that we see, they're in very different places, aren't they? This is like a fourth rewrite. And sometimes we get them like fresh off the page.
Yeah. I mean, this should be good. Jonathan should be embarrassed if this isn't good, because, like, you can't do it in the 4-3, right? Come on, what are you doing?
3 years?
Yeah.
Come on, mate. No, very good. Very good. It sort of made you realise that you probably do need to actually work on things for a really long time before they're any good.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say about that. So we could probably end the podcast, you reckon?
Yeah.
Is it too... We've said everything we need to say, haven't we?
Yeah, please. We really are looking forward to your competition entries, so do get them in.
And don't leave them to the last minute, because otherwise we'll have hundreds of them to read at the last minute, and yours might get left out of the pack.
Yeah.
You don't want that, do you? We've talked about this before, haven't we, about is it better to send them in early?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, really?
When they're not surrounded by other ones.
Yeah. But then do they get forgotten because they're early on?
Yeah, because we do have a lot to read. So sometimes it is quite, I think it might be helpful sending them early.
Yeah. Well.
If you could all get together, listeners, and kind of pace them out.
Yeah, and work out a system. Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
So maybe do it in alphabetical order.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, one a day.
Surname or height. Height, line up in height and go from shortest to tallest.
That's great. Yeah,
that
would
work.
Yeah. Good idea, Tom. Good idea.
Thank you very much.
Right, get writing, everyone.
Yeah.
We want to read your stuff. And just if you're struggling, if you're procrastinating, just think of that £500.
Oh yes.
See you later.
See ya.
Thanks. I might have thanked them at the end there, but I did.
Edit that thanks out, John, because that's nonsense. Ridiculous.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?